God's grace and peace through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Good to see you all here today. So nice to see you. It's been a busy week, hasn't it? It's been a busy week. If you watched any television, it's been a particularly busy week. I don't know how you feel about what you've seen on television. I just would encourage you to pray for everyone who you have seen, and perhaps pray for our nation, and perhaps pray for ourselves. We need God's power in our lives. We need God's power in our homes and in our schools. We need God's power, certainly, throughout the halls of Congress, in the White House, and certainly even in the Supreme Court. God's power, God's righteousness, God's mercy, God's justice. God must appear in these places, or we cannot, we will not be saved. So certainly pray for everyone, and pray for yourself also. These are difficult times for people. And it's easy to get angry, and it's easy to get confused, and it's easy to say things that perhaps you didn't really mean, but in the heat of the moment, you said them anyway. And so, like an arrow that has been shot, it cannot be reclaimed. It has flown in a direction, perhaps wounding some. It's always nice to think before you say something. I can tell you as a matter of personal experience. Always nice to wait a few seconds before you say something. And then if you say something, make sure you understand what may happen after you say it. Speak the truth in love. That's what the scripture says. Speak the truth in love. Don't forget that in love business. I think there are people who want to speak the truth, but they don't necessarily want to speak it in love. So let's do that for one another and with one another and with those who God has called to lead us and direct us. How scary it must have been for those apostles who had gathered around Jesus to hear his words, those words that we heard in this gospel reading from this morning. In the 20th verse we hear as Jesus tells them, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." That's an outrageous statement to make. It's an outrageous statement because in Jesus' day, the scribes and Pharisees, when they talk about righteousness, they're really talking about obeying God's commandments. And in Jesus' day, there were more, certainly more than 10 commandments. If you counted all the commandments concerning feast days and about what you wore and about how you treated your neighbor, and if you took all of God's commands seriously, there was probably about 613 commands. And the scribes and Pharisees tried very hard, very, very, very hard to keep every commandment, perhaps even building up their own understanding of commandments for themselves so that they would not, you know, building walls around walls so that they would not break that commandment. Those who were afraid of lusting after women, it was said that there were holy men who were afraid of lusting after women, and whenever they saw a woman in the marketplace, they would close their eyes immediately, which gave rise to what is called the bloody Pharisees, because what would happen is they would walk into things and they would stumble and they would fall. And we laugh, but they were trying to be holy. They were trying very hard not to sin, because if you don't sin, if you don't see a woman, you can't lust after her. So they were trying very hard to keep God's law. In our first reading this morning from the gospel, or from the prophet Isaiah, we heard of how the people before Jesus, the people of God before Jesus, had tried very hard to get God's attention. They had assumed that if they kept a fast, God would bless them. If they keep a fast, God would bless them. It was an if-then kind of situation. If you keep a fast, God will bless you. And Isaiah says it's not quite as simple as all of that. Indeed, he speaks the word of God saying to them, the kind of fast that God wants is a loosing of bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke and let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Moreover, he continues, is it not to share your bread with the hungry, to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? He continues, if you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom will be like noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you'll be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters never fail. Your ancient rules shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. What a wonderful blessing. And it's not just from fasting. It's from changing your heart. If your heart is changed, then God will bless you. And an expression of a changed heart is a fast. If one fasts, there is a belief that your heart has been changed. But you see, even before Jesus' ministry, there were children of God who just thought, if I do it, God will give it. If I do it, God will give it. If I make a sacrifice, God will bless me. And they weren't recognizing that just doing things will not get God's attention or God's blessings. It matters. It matters to God where your heart is. Where is your heart in all of this? If your heart is in it, you will do good deeds among those who are in need. You will reach out to those who are hungry. You will clothe those who are naked. You will give and be generous and be kind and merciful. It's not just doing and getting. I think we like to believe that Christianity is doing and getting. If we do what's right, we'll get a blessing. If we come to church regularly, if we give an offering, if we're active in the life of the church, God will bless us. And that isn't necessarily true if our heart isn't in it. There are religions in the world, lots of them, that are, you keep a list of things that you do. You check off things as they go along. You check off prayers that you've made. You check off a pilgrimage perhaps you've gone to. Perhaps you, if you've given to the poor, you check that off. And there's a checklist. And if you do these things, God will bless you. There are religions like that. Christianity is not one of them. Christianity requires a changed heart. That you not only do things, but you do things from your heart, not just from your head. And the scribes and Pharisees were really good at keeping rules. They knew all the rules. They knew how to make a perfect sacrifice. They knew how to make a perfect fast. They understood what was required of them, what they should eat, what they shouldn't eat, what kind of clothes they should wear, what they shouldn't wear. They knew how to treat their neighbor according to God's word, but was God's word in their hearts? Were they living a life of faith, expressed in keeping God's commands? Or were they just following the rules, expecting God would bless them? Unfortunately, it was the latter. It was the latter before Jesus' ministry, and it was the latter even in his ministry. What Christ calls his disciples to do is to be salt and light. Indeed, he says this before his resurrection among disciples who have gathered around him that we heard in this morning's gospel reading. Jesus tells those disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." It seems more natural for us to say, "Jesus, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world." But Jesus turns it around and says to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. If the power of the Holy Spirit is in you, and if you have heard my voice, and if you believe I am the Son of God, you already have it. You already are a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You already are. We don't even have to wait for the procession to Jerusalem and my crucifixion and my resurrection and the power of the Pentecost, the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. You don't even have to wait for that. You're ready to serve other people now with the love of God, even in my own, even as I conduct this ministry. And the same is true for us today. As I look around you, I say, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. God has already given you all you need to do ministry. You don't have to wait for anybody. I tend to think there are a lot of Christians who are waiting for something, waiting for a sign, waiting for new direction, waiting for more education, waiting for the lottery ticket to win. There's a lot of people waiting for that lottery ticket. God's already blessed you. He's blessed you with gifts and abilities and talents. What he has said to those disciples gathered around him this morning, it's meant for us also. You are the salt of the earth. You are the thing that gives it flavor. You are the thing that preserves what's needed. You are the thing that is perhaps more valuable than money itself. In Jesus' day, Roman soldiers were often paid in salt rather than in silver because salt was so valuable. You know, you've perhaps heard that phrase, worth your salt. That's where it comes from, the idea of value in salt. Today, we don't value salt the same way. As a matter of fact, if your blood pressure is a little high, salt is not your friend. Mr. Sodium is not exactly well-liked in a lot of places. But Jesus says that to his disciples. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. God has made you into a light to enlighten others, to shine the love of Christ in places that are dark and confusing. You not only have light for your own life, but you have light to share with others. A candle which lights another candle, the light of both candles isn't diminished. You can share the light and love of Christ with others and not lose anything yourself. Your own faith will not be dissipated or lost in any way. The light of Christ will continue in you and through you as you share it with others. God wants you to be an active minister in the gospel of Jesus Christ today. Not tomorrow, not 3 weeks from now, not when you win that lottery, which of course you will win at some point, if you continue to play. Because you can't win if you don't play. Public service message. You get a little older, you know how important the lottery is. God wants you to be part of his ministry today. There's something you can do today. Maybe it's a phone call. Maybe it's a card. Maybe it's a word. Maybe it's a smile. Maybe it's a contribution of money. Maybe it's a contribution of your attention. Some people need to be listened to. I swear, I think the world would be a happier place if we just listen to each other more carefully. We put aside our own problems for just a few minutes and listen to each other more carefully. We wouldn't even have to do more than that, just to be heard. There are a lot of people just want to be heard. They want to be validated. They want to recognize that their pain and suffering is real. And there's a lot of people who have pain and suffering. They just want to be heard. So today, consider that. There's work for us. There's work for every Christian. There's work for anyone who's been baptized. There's work for every child, every adult, and every senior citizen. There's work for you if you are stuck in a nursing home or in a veterans hospital. There are prayers that can be made. There is encouragement that you can give to those around you. Each of us can be a blessing to others. Or each of us can be perhaps a curse to those around us. Christ wants us to be a blessing, full of salt, full of life, full of light, certainly able to change those around us and give thanks to God. Now, I hope for us as we hear these words, we're both encouraged by them and challenged by them. Indeed, if Jesus is correct, and I think he is, unless our righteousness exceeds the scribes and the Pharisees, we will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And we can't do it on our own righteousness. We must depend on Jesus Christ, his life, death, and resurrection, and then be what he has called us, light and salt. People who are able to affect the world in a very positive way, beginning today until Christ calls us home. What a great challenge that is. And what a great opportunity to reach out with the love of Christ. May God bless us abundantly, strengthen us in faith, and keep us in the path of Christ now and forever. Amen.